Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Turn to your neighbor and tell them, hey, it's good to see you tonight in the house of the Lord. Yes, it is. And then if you have your Bibles, would you go to the book of Matthew, chapter 9? I wasn't going to do this humor, but y'all seemed like y'all are in a pretty good mood, so I'm going to give you a little humor. Y'all ready? One Sunday morning, the pastor noticed T. Boudreaux, and he was staring up at a large plaque that hung in the foyer of the church. And it was covered with names, and small American flags were mounted on either side of it. And that little seven-year-old, he's just staring at that plaque for some time. And so the pastor walked up and stood beside the boy and quietly said, he said, hey, good morning, T-Bow. He said, what's going on? And the young man, he said, well, good morning, Pastor. And he just stayed focused on that little plaque. And he said, what is this, Pastor? And he said, well, son, it's a memorial to all the young men and women who died in the service. And soberly they stood together staring at the large plaque and just had a few quiet moments together. And then T-Boo, he just said with a quivering, trembling voice, barely audible, he said, which service, Pastor, the 9:45 or the 11:15? So hopefully you make the 6 o'clock service and you make it out of here alive tonight. If you have your Bibles, would you go to the book of Matthew, chapter 9, and we're going to look at verse 27, 28, and 29. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Verse 28, and when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Verse 29, and he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. Lord, for the next 30 minutes, would you just anoint our minds and our mouth and help our hearts to be open to receive the seed of your word. And may it in time, Lord, bring forth fruit in our life. And we give you thanks and praise. And everybody say amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to tell you a true story. Jack was a very big, strong, burly man who worked in the railroad yard for many years. He was one of the most reliable employees. He was always on time, very reliable, very trustworthy. He was a hard worker who got along well with other employees. But Jack had one major problem, and that was his attitude was chronically negative. He was known around the yard as the most pessimistic man on the job. He perpetually feared the worst and constantly worried, fretting that something bad was going to happen. One summer afternoon, the crew were told that they could go home an hour early to get ready for a foreman's birthday party. And so all the workers left, but somehow Jack accidentally locked himself in a refrigerated boxcar that had been brought into the yard for maintenance. The boxcar was empty and it was not connected to any of the trains. And when Jack realized that he was locked inside this refrigerated boxcar, he panicked. And he began to take his fist and his forearm and he began to beat mercifully at the door, so much so that blood began to come from his arms and trickle down his body. Then after that, he began to scream. He began to scream at the top of his lungs, help me, somebody get me out of here. He screamed so long and so loud that his voice just became a raspy whisper. And then it wasn't very long that he was aware, I'm in a boxcar, a refrigerated boxcar. There's no way that I can get out. And so Jack guessed that the temperature that was in that boxcar was probably somewhere between 5 and 10 degrees Fahrenheit. So he feared the worst and he thought, I don't know what I'm going to do. If I don't get out of this boxcar, I'm probably going to freeze to death. And he said, there's no way that I can stay here all night. And the more he thought about his circumstances, the colder he became. And so the door was shut tightly and no apparent way of escape. And he sat down to his inevitable death by freezing or suffocation, whichever would come first. And so to pass the time, he decided to chronicle his demise. And he found in his shirt pocket an ink pen. And he pulled it out and he looked around and he found this little piece of cardboard over in the corner of the boxcar. And he went over there and he got it. And shivering almost uncontrollably, he scribbled this message to his family. Getting so cold, body becoming numb. If I don't get out soon, these will probably be my last words. And sure enough, they were. The next morning when the crew came, they worked and they opened up the boxcar and they saw Jack's body crumbled over in the corner. And when the autopsy was completed, it revealed that Jack had indeed frozen to death. Now here's the fascinating conclusion. The investigators discovered that the refrigeration unit for the car in which Jack had been trapped was not even on. In fact, it was out of order for some time and was not even functioning at the time of this man's death. The temperature, ladies and gentlemen, in that boxcar was 61 degrees the night that Jack froze to death. Jack froze to death in slightly less than normal temperatures because he believed he was in a freezing boxcar. He had it in his mind that he was going to die, and he expected the worst, and he was convinced in his mind that he didn't have a chance. And he saw himself as doomed with no way out. Brothers and sisters, he lost the battle in his own mind. I'm going to preach to you tonight, you become what you believe. You become what you believe. And you say, how is that possible? Well, let me ask you this. If you've ever had a nightmare, then you know that a nightmare is nothing more than images and thoughts inside your mind. Nobody is physically harming you, putting a gun to your face. Nobody is physically scaring you, but just thoughts and images inside your mind called a nightmare can literally make your body sweat. It can cause your heart to race and beat, and you can feel like you are literally suffocating in fear when you wake up, and yet nothing physical has happened to you. That is the power of your mind. That is the power of an image and a thought getting inside of your mind, so much so that even though nothing happened in the physical, your body takes on the manifestation as though it did. Jack's mind just simply believed, I'm in a freezing boxcar and there's no way I can get out. And the autopsy said he died because he was frozen to death. That's hard for you and I to imagine, but yet the scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Brothers and sisters, you will never, ever rise above the image that you create for yourself. If you see yourself as a grasshopper, then I'm going to tell you the devil will stomp all over you. But if you see yourself as a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy roller, born again, heaven-bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name, then guess what? You square your shoulders back and you say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, give God a praise right now. I'm talking about tonight, you become what you believe. The old adage is that life is a self-fulfilling prophecy held true for that man. Many people are like Jack. They expect defeat. They expect the worst. And people usually get what they expect. If you go around saying, I'm probably going to get the flu, well, then guess what? You probably will. And if you go around talking about how broke you are, then guess what? You'll probably look in your wallet and not find a dollar. But if you talk about, you know what? I believe I'm coming out. I believe God's with me. I believe God wants me to prosper. I believe God wants me well. Then guess what? I just believe that you can walk in strength and you can walk in anointing and you can walk in power. I want to preach to the Pentecostal church in De Quincey tonight that God has more for us than what we're currently experiencing. God's got some more blessings. Oh, you're not hearing me tonight. I want to say to you, God's got more than a church house. God's got a storehouse, and that storehouse has some blessings with your name on it, but you're never going to get it if you don't believe God has it for you. Come on, somebody, shout right now unto the Lord. When you start encountering tough times, don't expect to stay there. I want to teach you something tonight. Even if the bottom drops out, what do you do? I'll tell you what you do. You should start saying, God, I know that you're going to turn this around for my good. Because Romans 8:28 says all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Wherever you're at tonight, just know that God can turn it supernaturally. You know what God told Mary? He said, Mary, what I'm about to do in you is of the Holy Ghost. In other words, man's not going to have anything to do with it. I'm going to have everything to do with it. Man's not going to impregnate you. I'm going to impregnate you. I'm going to do it by a supernatural work of the Holy Ghost. I come here to prophesy to somebody tonight. What you need done, man can't do. But God can drop a seed in your womb, and what it is supernatural, and you'll walk away and you'll know a doctor didn't do this, a lawyer didn't get me out of this jam. I'm telling you, Jesus came on the scene and did what no man can do. Anybody need God to come on the scene tonight? Then stand to your feet and cry out to him right now. Jesus, I need you, Lord. This is something bigger than myself. It's crucial that we see ourselves as God sees us, since we'll never rise above the image that we have of ourselves. You say, Pastor, how can I change? I've been so negative for so long, and I heard a lot of negativism in my family. I was raised around it. How can I change? Here's one of the keys. If you want to change, you got to start getting in agreement with God. You don't talk about how you feel. You talk about what faith says and what God says about you. Can I get a witness? Get into agreement with this verse, please. Put Psalm 35:27 up on the screen. This is what it says. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad, whose favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, shout continually. Let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. You get into agreement with that verse. Instead of walking around saying, I'm just a poor old Pentecostal, you get in agreement and you say, God has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. I'm going to have joy in this house and I'm going to be glad. Listen, I'm not mad at anybody, but I'm going to tell you something. We should be some of the joyous people. We should have gladness perhaps beyond anybody. Not because we don't have problems, not because everything is going our way, but because we know our God. And they that know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. I don't like where I am right now, but I believe I'm walking out. I don't have $2 right now, but I believe God's going to bless me with that job. I don't feel the best right now, but by His stripes, I am healed. Are you with me? Something's gotten a hold of me in the last couple of weeks, because sometimes I walk into TPC and I promise you, I'm not downing you, sweet folks. I would never do that. But there are times I walk in here and I'm like, really? There's no more energy in this room than this? After all God's done for us? And I'll be honest with you, sometimes it bothers me. But I've just had to go back into my mind and remind myself, I can't choose what you do. I can't make you do. But I can choose my attitude. And so I just decided, you know what? I'm going to choose my attitude, and hopefully it'll be contagious, because I want there to be a positive energy and an excitement when we walk into the house of God, because I want our guests to see, I want them to feel, I want them to know that there is a body of believers that are rejoicing, that are glad, that believe God loves the prosperity of His people. And you know what? Even if it's not happening right now, it's about to happen. So I may not praise Him for what's happening now, but I'm going to praise Him for what I believe is about to happen. You say, Pastor, you're being hard on us. I promise to God, I'm not being hard on you. I promise I'm not. I just believe that if we start believing this, but we get focused on our problems instead of focusing on the problem solver. We start looking at the giants and start calling ourselves grasshoppers. And we start believing an evil report when God never told you you got to do it by yourself. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And when you go into giant land, I'm going to be right beside you. I understand not every day is a cloud nine day, but I want to tell you something. When we really get a hold of Psalm 37, we start being rejoicing. The world's going to see, you know what? I don't know what those crazy people are all excited about, but I need to go and find out, because the world is starving for joy and they're starving for peace, and you can't buy it in a pill and you can't get it in a bottle. But this peace that I have, the world didn't give it. And the world can't take it away. Come on, somebody shout right now. Look at three people and tell them, you become what you believe. You become what you believe. I'm going to detour for just a minute. I didn't give you this scripture, but if you can, find 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Here's the word of the Lord. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that through His poverty you might become rich. In other words, God became what He was not, so you could become what He is. I lost about 50 of you right there. Let me go back. He became poor. So if you become something, it means you're not that. So you become that. Right? So He became poor because as God, He's never been poor. So as man, He became poor. Right? Why? So that you might, what? Through His poverty, do what? Become rich. I don't know if it's necessarily talking about finance, but rich in faith, rich in belief, rich in peace, rich in things money can't buy. Come on, somebody. He became what he was not, which was poverty and poor, so that you could become rich. Now, do you think your heavenly Father wants you to drag through life broke and depressed and talking about what you don't have? God forbid. You don't want that for your son. You don't want that for your daughter. Then some of you get rid of this old stinking thinking that thinks God wants to abuse you with a disease or that God wants to put a heavy cross on you. I'm preaching my heart out to you tonight. I'm going to tell you the Bible says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Y'all stay with me. Don't go where I'm not going. Don't say what I haven't said. I'm going to tell you, a lot of the burdens are man-made. They're the traditions of men that men have laid on people. And even the Lord said that the Pharisees put burdens upon men that they themselves don't even carry. And a lot of us was raised up under this fear mentality. If we don't do this, God's going to strike us. Y'all know it's the truth. And we were raised up under, you were holy if you were humble and poor. And one of the favorite scriptures was, the birds of the air have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. And I get that. And if I was 100 years ago, I'd have probably preached the same thing. So I'm not throwing any stones, I promise to God. But the Bible does say there shall be light in the evening time. And brothers and sisters, how can I get up here and say, you know what? We need $100,000 to be able to do what we need to do on the outside. And yet at the same time say, you know what? If you're living in poverty, you're living close to God. And here I say, we need some money to be able to do something. And at the same time, I'm telling you, to be like God means living in poverty. That doesn't make sense. It takes money to make this house this beautiful. Do you think that when people went to Solomon's temple, they looked around and said, man, what a dump? No, depending on who you read, Brother Baggett, historians say that Solomon's temple was valued at anywhere from $9 billion to $90 billion. Have you found that to be true? Yes or no? $9 billion to $90 billion, and that's a big gap. But I'm going to tell you, $9 billion is nothing to sneeze at. So when you walked into Solomon's temple, buddy, I'm going to tell you, your mouth dropped open. God, listen, brothers and sisters, I'm off of my notes, but God wanted Israel to stand out from every other nation. And you may not believe this, but the scripture proves that he literally wanted to make the other nations jealous because of the blessings that was on Israel. He said, listen here, I'll bless you when you come in and I'll bless you when you go out. I'll make you the head and not the tail. Check this out. He said, you will be the lender. Yeah. And not the borrower. If you obey my commandments. Now, brothers and sisters, if God wanted that for the Old Testament believer, and we have a much better covenant, then why, pray to God, should we walk around talking about what we don't have and what we can't do and what we can't accomplish? I'm telling you, the devil is a liar. You know what? I'm not necessarily preaching to you right now. I'm preaching to spirits that would try to hold some of you in depression and try to hold some of you into a poverty mindset and try to hold some of you, well, I'm just from De Quincey. Well, Jesus was just from Nazareth. It was a small donkey town. Read history. It was nothing to brag about. And yet Jesus came from Nazareth and changed the world. Get rid of we're just from De Quincey. That doesn't mean a hill of beans. My God wants to do great things in De Quincey. In the New Testament, There's a fascinating account of two blind men who hear that Jesus was passing by, and faith began to rise in their hearts. And they must have thought, we don't have to stay like this. God can turn this situation around. And so they begin to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And the scripture account said the Lord heard their cries. And this is my paraphrasing. And when he heard their cries, my paraphrase, he stopped in his tracks. And he turned around and he walked over them and he posed the most intriguing question. Here it is. He said, do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I am able to do this? And you know what they said? Yes, Lord, we believe. And the Bible said, when Jesus heard their faith, he touched their eyes and said unto them, here it is, catch it, according to your faith. He didn't say, according to my faith. He said, according to your faith. Shout your faith. Shout my faith. He said, according to your faith, so be it done unto you. And immediately their eyes were open. Notice that it was their faith. Say my faith. That turned the situation around. I'm asking you tonight, Pentecostals, what are you believing? Will you dare to start believing God for greater things? We got to believe God for bigger things. It's not God's preference that you stay perpetually in pain. It's not God's preference that you stay in doubt and in fear. That's not God's purpose for your life. I'm not saying, Christians, that it's always going to be easy. But I am saying this, that it all works together for the good of those who love the Lord. Some of you tonight, you may be facing some terrible disappointments. Some of you have gone through some unspeakable things that have happened to you. And maybe you're looking at me and you're saying, Pastor, that all sounds good, but I've done everything I know to do. Nothing's changed. Nothing's worked. Nothing good ever happens to me. But I'm going to just tell you, my friend, that attitude is contrary to God's desire for you. No matter how many setbacks you may have suffered, God still has a great plan for your life. Yes, he does. Some people say, yes, but you can't unscramble eggs. No, you can't. You cannot unscramble eggs, but God can take scrambled eggs and make a delicious omelet. Yes, he can. How do you know? Because I know that nothing is too hard for God. The Bible says this in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Be confident. I want you to put it on the screen. Be confident of this very thing. He who hath begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means that God wants to finish the course with you. It means that God won't get involved and say, you know what, your case is too hard, I'm jumping out. God's never seen a case too hard. God won't get tired and he won't quit on you. He will not renege on his promises. Remember this, brothers and sisters, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can I get a witness? Amen. Let's just lift our hands and let's just pray together right now. Right where you're sitting, I want you to open up your mouth. And I want you to lift up your hands and I want you to ask God to speak this word to you tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to notice that faith has to do with the unseen world. Some of you may not be able to perceive anything positive happening in your life with your natural eyes. In fact, everything may be falling apart. Your finances, your marriage, your home life, your family life, on your job, even with your children. You may have all kinds of problems tonight. And in the natural, it doesn't look like anything is going to turn around. But your pastor is preaching to you, please don't be discouraged. Please don't be discouraged. Look into that invisible world. Look into that world of the supernatural. Look through the eyes of faith and just start seeing that situation turning around. Start confessing, I believe this situation's turning around. I believe that house is going to sell. I believe finances are about to break. I believe God's going to lead me to the right person at the right time. I believe I'm coming out of this depression. I believe God is going to heal my body. He looked at two blind men and he said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Just made up in my mind with the help of the Lord. I'm going to just keep speaking what I believe God wants to do in this house. God wants to turn some things around for somebody in this room tonight. Hallelujah. I'm not going to try to make something happen because this is God. This is God's service. It's God's plan. But here's what we're going to do. If you say, Pastor, I need God to turn something around in my life. If that's you, I want you to stand right now. I'm being serious. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.